Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
One Titan you believe everything hinges on, not named Marcus Mariota or Taylor Lewan. The biggest swing player on the roster, a player that can elevate the team to the next level, or if they don't perform to a certain level in your mind, that could make them mediocre. Is there a player that powerful on the roster, not named Marcus Mariota or Taylor Lewan?
There's a lot of different options out there. Would you like me to start, Hutton?
Sure.
I'm going to go with one that I think is probably on the mind of a lot of people out there, and that's Corey Davis. Corey Davis is the fifth overall pick. Because of injury last year, just simply did not live up to the billing of being the fifth overall pick. Healthy now, he has to be a difference maker. Now, we talked about numbers and expectations for second-year players in a previous topic, and I broke down a lot of the stats last year and how guys maybe need to double some of those stats or even triple those numbers in year two to be a valuable part of this team. I can't put a number on it in terms of catches or touchdowns or whatever it may be. And I talked about this with Corey Davis. I need Corey Davis to be the guy, the top receiving option outside of Delanie Walker. I don't know that that's going to go away anytime soon, even in this new offense with Matt LaFleur. But I need Corey Davis to be a guy that when it's third and 12, you feel like you have a shot down the field because you've got Corey Davis on your team. So however many catches it takes to get there, I talked about a specific number of 30-plus yard catches he needs this year. I think it was like 25, something like that, compared to some other top receivers in the league. Maybe not even that many. I need Corey Davis at least once a game to have a huge play. I need him also to be consistent enough to be a legitimate option on third and long. I'm not asking him to be one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL this year, but he needs to be at least the number two guy for this Titans offense. Even with Matt LaFleur liking to throw the ball around to a lot of different places, Corey Davis needs to be a deep threat, and he needs to be, at the very minimum, a number two option behind Delanie Walker.
Well,
if the Titans are going to reach their full potential.
I think it's a great selection. I mean, his rookie season, he had 33 or 34 catches. But those catches came over the course of 11 games that he actually was able and healthy enough to play in. And while he was targeted, 60, double the amount of catches he had, he wasn't targeted enough in those games in the red zone. Now, you have to say, well, reach the red zone and get there, and I understand that. But where he needs to impact this team is in the end zone. That's the next level for Corey Davis.
Remember we said this last year about Eric Decker and how great he was in the red zone, and that was one of your keys going into the season was this guy is going to be a great red zone option.
He was one of the top red zone targets whenever the Titans signed him, and Mariota was unstoppable in the red zone with his stats, so we thought it was a perfect marriage. Turns out it was not. You know, they didn't hook up in the regular season. So
Corey Davis needs to be that perfect marriage.
Yes.
With Marcus Mariota. Yes. That needs to happen.
And now that he's healthy this offseason, it needs to pay off with a solid sophomore season, and he needs to be ready to go from the get-go, from the jump against the Miami Dolphins. Because we saw flashes of his what he brings to the offense, any offense. The first game of the season against Oakland, he made some great acrobatic catches on the sideline.
He went up and got a couple.
And then he ended the year. He had a solid performance late in the season, the regular season against the Rams, where he had, I think, his best in-game performance reception-wise. He had 6 or 7 receptions in that one. And then we all remember how he ended the season, matched up against Malcolm Butler. He had 2 touchdown catches against him in the playoffs. 615-737-1045. It's a great answer. For me, Chad, outside of quarterback, and you could say when we put left tackle in there for a reason with Taylor Lewan, I think the most important position on the field is edge rusher. Harold Landry, to me, has to be that guy.
Love this answer.
We have been, how long have we talked about the Titans needing elite pass rush? know, having that true edge setter.
Since Javon Curse. I mean, Kyle VandenBosch, I guess, was that guy in the 4-3 defensive end. But in terms of drafting a guy like that, Brian Arakpo's been good. They got him in free agency. But when was the last time we talked about the Titans drafting this guy that needs to be that elite pass rusher and could be the elite pass rusher?
Yep.
Like Harold Landry.
I think with edge rusher now arguably the most important position behind quarterback, we have not had that all-out fear dominant pass rusher in many, many years. If he can come in and provide that splash for this Titans defense, especially with the top-tier quarterbacks on that schedule, with Andrew Luck back, with the quarterback coming back within the division, including Watson, I point to Landry being the key to next-level type thinking for the team. And I nearly went with Evans on this pick because Evans controls the middle of the field where the Titans gave up way too much in the passing game. They were killed across the middle last year. And not just last year, the last 4 to 5 years. Avery Williamson was very good against the run, but teams took and game planned the middle of the field in that defense. That's why I nearly went with Evans with the coverage aspects and him being able to be versatile within the defense. But if Landry gives you that option off the edge, then he takes care of a lot of problems for you against the pass.
I think if I had to say two top options, I went with Corey Davis. Harold Landry would be number two for me.
To the phones. Let's go to Scott. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. Both good, viable options. I love it. But for me, you know, you win in the trenches, and the Ben Jones is my guy. The interior line was poor last year, and I don't think that we could have that happen again this year and be successful. Ben Jones is the quarterback of the line. He makes all the audibles, all the calls. He's got to be better this year to give Mariota the time to be able to throw it to Corey Davis. You know, that's just my opinion.
I think that's a great answer. And Ben Jones was not great a year ago. He's got to be better. He's got to be the leader of the interior of that line, which, again, as he said, the interior of that line was not very good last year.
615-737-1045, our number.
How far down the list is Ben Jones, though, Hutton, for you?
You know, I would actually point to Conklin before I would say Ben Jones as being a critical piece. Because, you know, coming off the all-pro year rookie season, we talked with Greg Cosell constantly throughout the season about Conklin. You know, Conklin wasn't top of mind with great performances. Solid, but not great performances like we saw from him in the rookie season. And some of that could be just adjustments being made on the outside or maybe not enough help on the right side of the line. I don't know. But, you know, we need to see the improved play from him, and he's missing the offseason with the ACL. Will he be even ready to go week one? We don't know.
It's a great point. If they're going to live up to that bookend two guys that you want for the future of the franchise, Conklin's got to be better. Luan's doing his part. Conklin's got to step back up.
Toby is next. What's up, Toby?
Hey, guys. I was going to say Corey Davis, but since it's already been covered, how about we go with Adoree Jackson? And I'll say this, not that Adoree was bad, he was great, but if he can take the great coverage and translate that into a couple of interceptions along with great coverage, then that takes us to some upper echelon DB play. And on the flip side of that, if his coverage were to fall off, then that could absolutely translate into mediocrity. So I'll submit Adoree Jackson to you.
Toby, I like the way you're thinking there because he has game breaker ability in the thought of this question. While he was very good his rookie season, I was impressed with the way he improved each and every week throughout the regular season last year. He never was truly the game breaker, but he has the ability, both on defense with getting some extra possessions out of interceptions and in the punt and kick return game where he can break games for you based on one big return. He can flip the game and the scoreboard in your direction.
If you're trying to find a difference maker, Harold Landry, I love that entry because he can affect the game with sacks, getting to the quarterback, causing things to happen, I'm right with the caller on Adoree Jackson. He's got to intercept passes. That was the one thing a year ago. I thought he was good in coverage. He showed a lot of promise. You got to get your hand on the football. He's got to change a couple games with some key interceptions. And if he gets the interception, for the reasons you just said, Hutton, because of his return ability, look out. That could be 6 points the other way if he gets the ball in his hands on defense, especially. I love the Adoree Jackson answer also.
I love the response so far. Look at these lines.
Love it. 737-1045. If you want to jump in when someone drops off right now, we have loaded lines with some different answers out there. The most pivotal Titans player not named Mariota or Luan, not number 8, not number 77. Who is the guy that needs to play really well if the Titans are going to reach full expectations and potential this year? Michael on Twitter, with our topic about most important Titans player, he says, most important Titan, not sure you guys will count this one, but it's Mike Vrabel. There's a lot of real talent on this team. It's up to Vrabel to make the right moves to get the most out of all of them.
Sure, but I mean, for the sake of this conversation, we're going players.
Yeah.
But I mean...
We'll have a lot of other discussions about Mike Vrabel and critical expectations in year one, for sure.
JB is next up on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Hey, JB.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, you know, the fans have been clamoring for it, and I don't know how much he's going to split carries with Deion Lewis.
Go on.
But I want to see Henry step up to this role as a leader, and I want to see him consistent, pounding people, running over people, wearing down the defensive lines, and giving Mariota that opportunity that was supposed to happen last year. So I want to see Henry be more consistent, be that wild card running back and not the divisional round running back.
Yep.
And I just want to see him step up to that role.
Thank you, JB.
I can't say either of the running backs because I think they're both going to be equally involved. So I can't pick one over the other. I'm not disagreeing with him on Derrick Henry. He's going to be a big part of this team. I just can't side with Henry or Lewis because I think both are equal parts very important to the Titans offense. Especially Deion Lewis with the amount of times you're going to see short passes in this offense of Matt LaFleur. I think Deion Lewis is going to be pivotal in pass catching.
I have said this since they signed him. I was surprised in preparing for the Titans radio broadcast in the playoffs against New England and watching Deion Lewis run last season. I was surprised at how much he was used between the tackles.
Yeah.
I think fans here will be surprised with his physicality for his size. Not saying he's the Derrick Henry style runner. He's clearly not. But I think you'll be impressed with how he uses his pads. Also,
I'd say the same reverse about Henry, by the way. People are surprised that he's as good outside the tackles as he is and maybe not as dominant inside the tackles as you'd expect for a guy his size.
They will certainly use both in various ways. And also, watch for Deion Lewis in the passing game from the slot. It doesn't necessarily have to be from, you know, behind Marcus Mariota. They will find ways to get both running backs on the field within this offense. That's what I'm excited about. It's the duo there with how they can have the dual threat. Speaking of Titans running backs, former Titans running back, DeMarco Murray, according to Adam Schefter, Chad, Schefter saying that DeMarco Murray, the Saints reached out to him about coming in for a workout. Murray turned it down because he does not want to work out with a large group of running backs. So he said, no, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to come in and work out with the, you know, your crew that you're having in there. And he's going to wait it out.
That's bold. Yes. He's going to get an opportunity from someone.
He will.
Someone will pick him up. And maybe it'll be one with not a big running back room like he wants.
Maybe not. Well, he just doesn't want to try out with the
group. I need a little more elbow room in the running back room.
Let's go next to Jason with Adam on deck. Hey, Jason.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
My guy's going to be Malcolm Butler this year.
Tell us why.
I believe, you know, Adoree, he's great, you know. Then you have Logan Ryan. He's more of a, you know, inside kind of guy. We've never had that shutdown corner, and since, you know, like Cortland Finnegan. So I believe, you know, if we can get that kind of guy to shut down the Hopkins and the Hiltons, you know, may do good for the defense this year. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
See, I would still consider Adoree Jackson ahead of Malcolm Butler in terms of got to have it to reach full potential. But Malcolm Butler's legit. I mean, They signed the guy for that money for a reason. They need him to be big time. They need him to be a really good NFL corner. I wouldn't consider Malcolm Butler a shutdown corner. I wouldn't put him quite in a, I'm when I say shutdown corner, I'm thinking elite of elite at that position. Malcolm Butler is not that, but I think he can be a really good to great NFL cornerback. And that's what the Titans have to have him be this year if they're going to reach potential.
You know, general managers talk in terms of building the best 53, the 1 through 53. If you narrow that down to just the best possible secondary, each individual player you may not put up there as best corner in the league. But I think that group, they have the chance to be one of the top secondaries in the league. That's how I view it.
Yeah.
With what they've built, with what Robinson's built this offseason, adding Butler as the next piece.
Phone lines are open if you want to jump in.
And now think about it if they have an elite pass rush.
Yeah.
If they have the true speedster off the edge to complement that.
Both are going to help each other. That pass rush is going to help Adoree Jackson get some interceptions this year, and the secondary will look a lot better, and vice versa. If the secondary can hold coverage a little bit longer, it's going to make that pass rush look a lot better.